Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on the Radio Northwest Network. I want you to ask yourself this. When you saw the rest of America turn a different direction and choose a different president in Donald Trump, thank God he's coming back to the White House, a different government on Capitol Hill, where you still have a majority for Republicans in the House and now a majority in the Senate as well. And yet here in the Pacific Northwest, what do we get? More of the usual suspects who are online. You've got a new governor, Democrat governor, who will probably be worse than Jay Inslee has been. You've got an existing Democrat governor in Oregon who's bad all day long. And so what happens when the Republicans are sitting in a minority position with the Democrats in a supermajority? I thought we'd talk about that with Senator John Braun, who is the new head of the GOP caucus for Olympia when the session begins. Senator Braun, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me on, Lars.
Before we get into what you're going to do, any ideas why the rest of the country changed direction for the most part and the Pacific Northwest did not?
Well, I think, you know, that's the million-dollar question. I'm not sure why we're different, although I would tell you that it depends on where you look in the state. You know, overall, we lost all the statewide races. We didn't have any statewide races before. We did make progress in some areas, and I don't want to confuse that with somehow a substitute for winning races, but we made significant progress with minorities in King County. We made progress in some of the rural areas, but overall, while we didn't do like we would like to, we did win in three districts. I'm sorry, five districts in the state Senate where President Trump did not. So we're making progress, but not nearly the rate we would like to. And I can't really tell you other than the Democrats in Washington have built a system that makes it very hard to take out their incumbents. It makes it very hard. It makes it much easier for them to get their voters out and counted. We have some concerns about Election Day registration and voting. We need to do more investigation to make sure that was done properly and legally. But it's just it's a tough environment in the Northwest right now.
I think you're right. And by the way, when your Democrat friends across the aisle in Olympia start bringing up these ideas of additional requirements for buying a gun, which they apparently want to do, why don't you say, well, why is it discriminatory to ask for picture ID in elections or at least some chain of custody of the ballot? But all of a sudden somebody wants to purchase a gun lawfully and legally that they have to go and jump through all these additional hoops. Isn't that going to be equally discriminatory? At least put their feet to the fire on that one.
I couldn't agree more. And then they're, of course, working through the courts to try to eliminate even the current requirements we have to match signatures, which is a sort of a basic requirement. They're trying to eliminate that. Touching on ceasing push for more restrictions on the Second Amendment rights we all enjoy thanks to the U.S. Constitution and the Washington Constitution, the reality is they talk about reducing gun violence, but they don't actually want to do anything about it. They sit on their hands when it comes to actually increasing the penalties on folks who have actually used guns for violence, and they want to restrict the access to firearms by law-abiding citizens. It's very frustrating.
Senator Braun, tell me this. What can the GOP expect to get done in the upcoming legislative session in Olympia with only a minority to a supermajority on the other side?
Well, I think that's a million-dollar question. We've been very successful the last couple of years to start stopping a lot of bad bills, tax bills, regulatory bills. But we have a different makeup of the majority this year. We've lost some of the folks who were rational and saw the sense the arguments we made is compelling and stood with us against some of the bad policy the Democrats have suggested. So our mission right now is to go find folks from the other side that will stand with us for common sense. And if I say, that's the one thing we have on our side is we have listened closely to the people across the state of Washington. We know the things that are making their life more difficult. They're focused on affordability. They're focused on public safety for themselves, their families, their communities. They're focused on education for their kids. We know Democratic policies are making all these situations worse. So the thing we have on our side is we have the right policies, we have the right answers, and we have rational arguments. Now we just got to go find Democrats who are willing to listen.
Well, I'll tell you what. Can I give you one that we just got some new numbers on today? You've got this crazy carbon tax in Washington State called the Climate Commitment Act, And what they do is they auction off carbon credits, and then they add that to the cost of gasoline and diesel before it ever gets to the pump. So people would say to me, well, where's this tax you keep talking about? And I said, it's built into the price. And they just had another auction of these carbon credits, and it went from less than $30 a ton to more than $40 a ton. So that's a 35% increase, and they think when the price finally settles out, it may settle out close to $60 a ton, or about double what it is now. So you've already got gasoline in Washington State that's 46 cents a gallon more than Oregon right next door. Will your colleagues be willing to address that? Because this is killing people on transportation costs, and the fact that the state of Washington never followed the law and exempted agriculture, it's killing people on food costs as well. Are they at least willing to listen to that?
I think this can be challenging. I think this is our role, is we have to go fight. Now, it went to initiative. The people, unfortunately, did not repeal it. I think that was a mistake, but that's the people, and we could talk about the situation. We got massively outspent in that election. Nonetheless, we have an initiative the people passed that would, defeated that would have repealed it. So now our job is to go out and make it work properly and make sure people understand. That means we got to hold them accountable to the law. Make sure, as you suggest, you're accurate, that we make them follow the law when it comes to ag and exempting them. We got to make folks understand what this does to the cost of everything from driving your own car to groceries you buy, and anything that's transported on our transportation system is affected by this. And then lastly, this is essentially killing our ability to put together a transportation budget that will maintain, let alone actually work on some of the larger products we have to have a world-class transportation system. This is a real challenge. I think our role now as Republicans is say, hey, the people said they want it. We got to go make it work right, because it definitely does not work right.
Well, and the other thing in my own backyard is this stupid interstate bridge replacement, where the costs have now climbed up to close to $9 billion. States of Oregon and Washington only have half that much money, a little less than half. And the whole project doesn't have a sign-off from the Coast Guard, which it's required to get. Can we drive a stake through the heart of that thing right now? Because it's already turned into the kind of disaster a lot of us thought it was going to be, and the kind of disaster that killed the last one.
That's exactly right. They keep adding requirements and making it too complicated, trying to turn what should be a billion-dollar project now into a $9 billion project. And I don't see any end in sight, frankly. You say, can we kill it? I don't think that there's a path to kill it. There is a need to have a safe and viable crossing of the Columbia, but we can do it for literally billions of dollars less. And until the advocates for this are willing to sit down and talk about a reasonable solution that really addresses the transportation needs across the Columbia.
I totally agree with you. Senator John Braun, we'll be back in just a moment. I'll get to your phone calls and emails. You're listening to The Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network.